NW248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. President Biden has unveiled his budget plan. CBS's Stephen Portnoy has the story.
The president's budget includes a number of ideas that failed to advance when Democrats controlled both houses of Congress, including hundreds of billions of dollars for child and elder care and universal preschool. To pay for it all, Mr. Biden would raise the corporate tax rate, impose a new wealth tax on America's richest families, and increase rates on married couples earning over $450,000 a year. The budget allows the president to contrast his plans with Republicans.
They want to cut tax for the wealthy and large corporations.
House Speaker Kevin McCarthy calls the Biden budget completely unserious. Stephen Portnoy, CBS News, Washington.
Republican presidential candidate Nikki Haley is proposing her own reforms to big budget federal programs.
I'm Steve Dorsey in Washington.
We need to fix it.
Republican presidential candidate Nikki Haley told an Iowa crowd she'd support reforms to Social Security and Medicare.
So the first thing you do is you change the retirement age of the young people coming up, so that we can try and have some sort of system for them.
Haley says those benefits should also be limited for the rich.
Democrats are supporting raising taxes on the wealthy. The CEO of Norfolk Southern was on Capitol Hill today testifying about that train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio.
Alan Shaw apologized, saying he is deeply sorry.
We have been cooperating fully with the NTSB's investigation.
The CEO said so far there is no indication that those on board the train did anything wrong.
The preliminary report found that the Norfolk Southern crew was operating the train below the speed limit and in an approved manner.
But he said it's clear the safety mechanisms in place were not enough. He promised improvements.
I'm going to make sure they've got the right training and the right technology.
That's CBS's Steve Futterman with that report. Well wishes pouring in as Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell recovers at a Washington, D.C. hospital. CBS's Nicole D'Antonio.
A spokesperson for the Kentucky Republican says he tripped at a local hotel during a private dinner. He has been admitted to the hospital where he is receiving treatment.
The 81-year-old Republican leader suffered a concussion. A massive Russian missile barrage rained down on sections of Ukraine last night. CBS's MTS Taib is in the Ukrainian city of Dnipro.
The far west of the country, Lviv, which has largely been spared the kind of devastation we've seen in the east of the country. You see homes reduced to rubble. You see people having lost their lives, lying in their beds.
NASA Administrator Bill Nelson with the agency's top priority.
NASA is laser focused on Mars.
This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
At Charmin, we heard you shouldn't talk about going to the bathroom in public, so we decided to sing about it.
When you're rolling Charmin, I'm just soft on the potty. Let's just muscle, roll it back, everybody. Charmin's irresistibly soft and hella nice. The crib is always stocked.
It's our potty.
Charmin Ultrasoft is irresistibly soft and more absorbent, so you can use less. Enjoy the go with Charmin.
Hi, this is Drew Barrymore. Do you know what my idea of the perfect night is? First, make a bunch of complicated plans, and then cancel all those plans. Instead, spend the night streaming movies and TV shows on Pluto TV for free, including my show. There are tons of live channels and even more on demand. Free to stream all you want on Pluto TV and never pay a thing. Stream now, pay never. Pluto TV.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripescast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Weather brought to you by you and your great business. For just $100 a week, this sponsorship is designed to make your phones ring.
But the offer absolutely ends March 15th. Log on civicmedia.us/weather. civicmedia.us/weather.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. It's Write Night tonight at McMillan Memorial Library in Wisconsin Rapids. From 6 to 8 p.m., adult writers gather in the McCourt Room to read each other's work, provide feedback, and talk all things literary. Bring a laptop or paper and pencil and join in. Nearly 700 students from area high schools visited Mid-State Technical College for their Program Showcase Career Exploration event. Students from Amherst, Assumption, Granton, Loyal, Neillsville, Rosholt, and Stevens Point area senior high schools came to the Wisconsin Rapids campus to explore career options in their 85-plus programs. The program showcase allows students to meet current Mid-State students, staff, and program faculty. They can tour the campus labs and experience the hands-on learning that Mid-State offers. Summer registration for the 23 summer term opens today for current students at Mid-State. Public registration starts tomorrow. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. A winter weather advisory continues until 9 a.m. this morning. Snow likely overnight, otherwise cloudy skies expected. Lows level off around 24, winds out of the northeast 10 to 15 miles per hour. High of 35, tomorrow snow likely. Lows around 17, tomorrow night 6 to 12 inches of snow overnight through Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 27.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
What do you think got me this job?
What do you think got me? Oh, darn it. Shoot. I'm in.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Welcome to the No Sour Ha Ha Fun Time Power Hour of the third hour of our show. And I'm going to get right to it because we don't have that much time with our next guest. But March Madness is basically here. And this is your reminder that there is also a women's tournament as well as a men's tournament. And so with that, I am so excited for our next guest. She is an Emmy Award-winning journalist, a number one New York Times best-selling author of What Made Maddie Run. And she's here to talk about her new book, which I, as a kid who grew up playing basketball, as a girl who grew up playing basketball, love. And I'm so happy you guys sent me a copy of it. But Hoop uses An Insider's Guide to Pop Culture and the Women's Game. Kate Fagan, welcome to As Goes Wisconsin.
I love it. I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
And so I don't even know how to describe flipping through this book because it is history. It's a history book of the game, but reads like a comic book.
Yes. Yes, that is the goal.
Is that what you envisioned when you first came up with the idea?
Yeah. I mean, I think right away I was like, you know what people won't buy? A history of women's basketball, if you know America. So I was like, you know what I need to do? I need to make it the coolest thing you've ever seen with artwork and comic book art and try to make it so stylish and colorful and vibrant that you are just are drawn to it. So that was the goal from the outset, to make it, I mean, not look exactly like this, but I love the way Sophia Chang illustrated it. So
And that is the feel. The feel is fun. The feel is inviting as far as just the look and all the illustrations. But it's also, I mean, it is a history. It's almost like a textbook as far as like it goes back to the beginning of basketball in the late 1800s, right?
Yeah. I mean, so it goes back to 1891 when James Naismith invents the game. And I try to make it so that, like, I'm pulling out the quirky details, like, you know, that he asked for a box and then the janitor brought him a basket. So it's like, we very easily could have had box ball for all we know, you know? And like the heights of the rim are at 10 feet just because those happen to be the balconies in the gym he was working in. So it's like, I'm trying to pull out the interesting details, but we do go back in time. And then I try to, you know, take you through and mythologize and build lore and storytelling around the history of this game while also being honest about how many times it was canceled and told it was unladylike, or, you know, society in certain states said that you can't play it anymore. So it's both joyful and celebrating these women, but also trying to be honest about what has happened in the 130 years of this game's existence.
And so, and you played college basketball, right?
Yes, so I played at Colorado.
This is a sport that is near and dear to your heart. And then obviously you've been a sports journalist for the rest of your career since college. But how much of researching this book, like how much did you know and how much did you learn?
I mean, I don't know where you are on this, like, you know, history timeline, but I thought, because I knew who Cheryl Miller was, that I was like the historian of all of women's basketball, right? Like, people talked about Immaculata and outside of Philadelphia, and like, I knew who that was. So I thought, there's nothing you can teach me about this game. But of course, there were years to fill in between 1891 and 1970.
Yeah.
And it turns out that there is a lot that happened in there, and I knew none of it, none of it. So trying to, like, I was learning and then trying to pull out what I thought was like the crux of the story and all of these different, like, really dynamic moments.
And so for researching it, were there books? Were there other historians who knew it? Or was it just piecing together archives from newspapers and just, because it is like, so much of the point of the book is the women playing basketball has been left out of pop culture, mainstream mythology, as far as what we know about men's basketball, despite women playing for basically almost as long, just not getting any credit or acknowledgement for playing. And so how hard was it to actually find people who've been documenting this for over 100 years?
Challenging.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like, and that is part of what the long vision goal of Hoop Muses is to make, to bring some of these stories to a place where they aren't lost to history. But for some of this, you know, if it wasn't for the work of Pamela Grundy and Susan Shackelford, who wrote Shattering the Glass, which starts with Naismith and takes you through, their book was published like 15 years ago, but it takes you through like the early 2000s and the college game and the start of the WNBA, there, a bunch of these stories would not exist and be easily able to find. So it was difficult, right? You had to have one, usually a woman, who decided this mattered and then spent a couple years documenting it. You know, there are two women who wrote Full Court Quest about this Native American team in 1904 that were the first world champions. And that was Linda Peavy and Ursula Smith. So it was like, if some of these women didn't dedicate their lives to not a lucrative pursuit of taking some of this history and making sure that it was saved, it would be lost at this point.
Yeah. And so this is more, and this is like an opinion question versus not so much on the book, but when it comes to women's sports in its totality, it feels like there's been more of an embrace sometimes of women's soccer or women tennis players. And like, it does feel like there's more of a struggle as far as the same respect or attention or money for women's basketball, despite the history of it and women who can really play. Like, what have you chalked that up to as far as the difference between the sports or how different women play sports and their persona? Or like, what do you point to?
Yeah. Well, you're in my wheelhouse now. This is something I think about a lot. So there's a lot of distinctions to make. Women, like, tennis is a sport where even in the early days, like when Stanford played the first intercollegiate game, but a couple years later, the Stanford administration is like, that was a mistake. This is unladylike. We are no longer playing girls basketball, but they made a distinction. Tennis is still okay. Mm-hmm. And part of that was that there is no physical contact between opponents in tennis. Like, you have the net between you. So throughout history, tennis has always kind of been an exemption. So first you have to think of, are female bodies able to collide in the sport? If they are able to collide, we're probably going to have a problem historically in supporting it. And then the next step, because you can still think to yourself, okay, well, soccer is an exemption. Soccer, there's a lot of things at play, but soccer has the built-in benefit of two huge milestones on the sports calendar that they revolve around. So a World Cup is something that, you don't need to know anything about soccer or anything about like the infrastructure. And you can just say, oh, World Cup, I get that. Like, I get the stakes of that. I understand that I'm wearing an American, the U.S. jersey, and they're wearing whatever jersey. Like, I don't need to tell you anything else. You can get invested. Same with the Olympic Games for them. Like, we all, doesn't matter any gender when the Olympic Games happen. You're like, oh, Olympic gold medal. Yeah, that's exciting. And doesn't matter. I'll watch, you know, I'll watch, like, name anything. I don't want to embarrass any sport, but, you know, shooting and skiing at the same time, you know,
put.
Like, I'll do it. That's right. Like, I'm into it because I get what's baked into it. And so women's basketball has kind of always been at the outside of that. They have the Olympics, but it's never necessarily our focus. And soccer also has the benefit of just kind of being like a girl next door sport. Like, there's no racist, you know, there's no race cultural divide.
Yeah.
It's always very white, and you have to have money to play it. So that's my kind of, I could really go on about this topic. I literally did a TED talk on it. So,
oh, we'll have to link that in our show notes. I'll go find that.
Please do. So I like, those are the distinctions you can kind of see as you really look into these things.
Yeah. And I know we don't have that much more time. So I kind of, you know, we think about stories. There's obviously so many stories in this book. Ultimately, I think so many, when it comes from the off the page and then into a movie or into HBO series, and you look at, I even looked up in preparation for this interview this morning, I was like, what are like the top women's sports movies? And I think we all think of A League of Their Own, and now this TV series, Bend It Like Beckham, like, and there's just, so like, of the stories you learned, which, I'll give you like two to three, so you don't have to pick just one. Which do you think would make the best series and or movie?
Okay, there are a ton.
Okay.
But like you said, like we did these movie posters, like movies that should have been starring female athletes, but weren't. Like White Women Can't Jump. We've got that with like Arike Ogunbowale.
Which I can attest to. So, I definitely cannot jump.
No. Me neither. But I remember the one time I got that rebound and I felt like I was flying. So there's one in particular, like we all know the Harlem Globetrotters, and like they have survived history, continue to tour today. But nobody knows about these barnstorming clubs that existed in the 1930s and beyond. And they were women's clubs. And there were black barnstorming teams that came out of black Chicago, black Philadelphia that toured the country. And then there was this club named the All-American Redheads. And they kind of came out of the Arkansas, Oklahoma area, and they weren't all redheads. They dyed their hair with henna, and they traveled the country for years, and they would stop in small towns. They played in front of thousands of people in overseas. So to me, if you want to think about like an HBO scripted show of like a 1930s, like the All-American Redheads barnstorming club, it kind of has that A League of Their Own vibe, right?
Yeah.
The dynamics between the culture and this team, as well as interpersonal. Like, that's a story that I don't understand how it hasn't survived history.
Well, especially because if it's the 1930s, isn't it the Depression? So isn't there a whole other hardship aspect that bring some grit? Yeah.
And then it's pre-TV. So that, and it, they kind of, the advent of the TV set kills a lot of some of these barnstorming clubs that don't have the benefit of being the Harlem Globetrotters. But so it's perfect for this era as well. And people, you know, they're expensive to make, these time period shows, but if we get the right screenwriter.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we have to let you go, but I can't. I'm so happy to have a copy. I'm so happy to dive even further into it. Thank you for writing it. Thank you for joining the show. But Kate Fagan, go find Hoop Muses. You can order it now, right?
Yes, it came out Tuesday.
Tuesday.
So, yes. So we will
link it to today's show notes so you can get it for your basketball lovers, male and female alike. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, this was fun. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. All right. Well, when we come back, three headlines and a lie. We haven't played that in a while. More As Goes Wisconsin. This is As Goes. This is Kristen.
Being homeboy with Go One on One, cause playing the game is a lot of fun. Sit by the TV and watch them all, cause Curtis Blow is rapping basketball.
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Forest. Trees? Sure. Know what else grows in the forest? Our imagination, our sense of wonder, and our family bonds grow too. Because when we disconnect from this and connect with this, we reconnect with each other. and build family memories we will carry with us forever. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. It's easy. Just put in your zip code to find family-friendly outdoor destinations near you. You'll also find guides to free activities, games, and amazing forest facts. Give the magic of the outdoors to your kids and reconnect with your family. Find a forest near you at discovertheforest.org. That's discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
To protect his family from disaster, Steve used his camera phone.
Done.
By taking pictures of his important documents, Steve can always have them stored online. Learn more simple disaster prep tips at ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Weather on this snowy day in Milwaukee could be brought to us by your pizza delivery business. Can you imagine how many families are snuggled in their homes enjoying hot, tasty pizza? Weather makes the phone ring for just $199 per week. Call us at 608-819-8255.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
A winter storm warning continues until 10 a.m. this morning. Cloudy overnight with snow likely. Lows around 30. Northeast winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Snow likely tomorrow, high of 33. Overcast tomorrow night, 22. 5 to 10 inches of snow overnight through tomorrow, with another 2 to 4 inches Saturday night through Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 30 degrees.
A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
In the headlines.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. How fun was Kate Fagan?
She was great. And even though I am not a big sports fan, I really want to read that when you're done with it.
I will definitely. Maybe I'll buy you your own copy since I got this one for free. I can gift it forward.
Just the history of it and the how long it goes back and the last tidbit she shared about the barnstorming teams. Mm-hmm. I love stuff like that.
You should watch Dream On, which is the 30 for 30 that chronicles the 1996 women's Olympic basketball team. And for me, that was the women who were on that team and when I was playing were like who you looked up to.
I'm sure.
And it just talks about the struggles they went to. And then also that was around, well, no, it was probably another 10-ish years. I think I'm getting the timeline screwed up as far as once the WNBA started. But again, as you are not the biggest sports fan, but you are a big fan of women and women's stories.
And history.
And 30 for 30s are always done really, really well.
I will check that out.
And so I will send you the link for that. And we'll link it that today, too. But I almost, if I had had more time, I was going to ask Kate if she had heard of the book Brief Garland or the movie Believe in Me, which was the girls' basketball movie I was in.
I'm sure she has it. She's got a copy.
Well, I will say the only reason... maybe is because I had read a different interview she did for the book. And she said there was kind of a gap in like the 50s, 60s years. And that's when, and it was based off a true story. It was the 1960s, like early 60s Oklahoma. And in the book written by the coach, who he was the coach, it was still when, and I think even for my mom, when she played basketball, you only played half. There was two rovers. So for women's basketball, it was, I think, always three people on defense. I forgot exactly what, but basically some of the players didn't play the whole court. And then, yeah. And so there was something like that, but that's not how we filmed the movie. But so she might have heard of it only because in those time periods of trying to find like the last 100 plus years, that may be one of the only books written about women, girl basketball players in like the 60s, especially in Oklahoma.
Well, you'll have to send a follow up.
Maybe
email
I'll send a follow up.
You can send her a copy.
I didn't want to embarrass myself and her be like, no, definitely not. all right. Well, we haven't played this in a while, so I thought we would three headlines and a lie. One is fake. Let's see if you can figure out which one is fake.
All right, Jane. I did not cheat, so I don't know what's coming.
Parents force son to watch TV all night as punishment for watching too much TV.
Okay.
Number two. Notre Dame will introduce lower pitched basketball buzzer. No, no, that's not Notre Dame. Notre Dame, the school. Sorry.
Not the cathedral.
Notre Dame will introduce lower pitched basketball buzzer after the old one made campus swans aggressive.
Gosh, I hope that's true.
Number three, Amazon jungle. Man survives 31 days by eating worms.
Lots of protein. That's what I understand.
Have you ever eaten a worm?
No.
No. I don't think I've ever eaten a worm either. Sunny D introduces new alcoholic drink.
It's your citrus with your vodka. One of those.
So I'll read them again. Parents force son to watch TV all night as punishment for watching too much TV.
Okay.
Notre Dame will introduce lower pitched basketball buzzer after the old one made campus swans aggressive. Amazon jungle. Man survives 31 days by eating worms. Sunny D introduces a new alcoholic drink.
This one's tough today. I can certainly see the parents having their kid watch TV all night as a punishment for watching too much television. I believe the guy can survive on worms in the Amazon jungle. I think that's doable. A drink manufacturer going into alcohol? Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that leaves the buzzer that I think is a lie.
Good job.
Really?
Good deductive reasoning skills.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, which kind of makes sense because basketball is an indoor game. So how would the swans be affected by the indoor basketball buzzer?
Maybe they're hanging around outside the building.
Yeah, maybe they would have been too close.
They're lurking.
Doesn't matter because it's not true. but yes, a couple has sparked debate online after forcing their son to watch TV all night and not get any sleep as a punishment.
Did they stay up with him all?
I mean, it looks like it.
They were nudging him all night.
This looks like it happened in China. And there's like video of them doing it. And they've blurred out the faces of the kid and the parent. But that doesn't seem like forcing your child to stay up all night, especially when sleep deprivation is actually considered one of the worst forms of torture.
Yes.
Seems maybe there would have been a better way to do that, but it happened. And then a Bolivian man described how he managed to survive for 31 days in the Amazon jungle after he got lost. And he said he drank rainwater collected in his shoes and ate worms and insects while hiding from jaguars and picaries, a type of pig-like mammal.
Whoa.
The picture, this is on BBC News. The picture of this man, he does not look
well.
Does not look well.
Well.
He looks pretty in pain having been rediscovered after 31 days. But, and then finally, yes, Sunny D introduces new alcoholic drink. Sunny Delight is entering the liquor aisle with a new orange seltzer.
There is a certain generation that I can see that really appealing to, can't you? It was the drink of my childhood. Now it's the drunk of my adulthood.
I'm not that demographic. I will not be buying this. All right. When we come back, speaking of drinks and alcoholic ones, Chris Drosner is here for some Wisconsin beer news. We'll be back in a minute. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
WAUK. Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Saturdays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Hey, Dad, your prescription will be ready in just a minute. Hey, Dad, your laundry will be ready in just a minute. Dad, your lunch will be ready in just a minute.
Hey, honey, why don't you take a minute?
When you help care for a loved one, you give them as much time as you can, making sure they're safe and comfortable. But it's just as important that you take some time for yourself. At AARP, we can help with information and useful tips on how you can maintain a healthy life balance, care for your own physical and mental well-being, and manage the challenges of caring for a loved one. Because the better care you take of yourself, the better care you can provide for your loved one.
Thanks, Dad.
Thank you. You're there for them. We're here for you. Find free care guides to support you and your loved one at aarp.org/caregiving. That's aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
They are our cuddlers and co-workers, purr machines and love bugs, and constant companions. They are our pets, our family, and they make life so much better. When we face unexpected challenges in life, so do our pets. That's why we're on a mission to support people who love their pets and the pets who love their people, ensuring these families stay exactly where they belong, together. And you have something to offer. With an open heart and mind, there is nothing you can't do. There's no gesture too small or too big when it comes to helping. Whether donating a bag of kibble, sharing an Instagram post of a lost cat, or welcoming a foster pet into your home, every bit of kindness counts. You can help keep pets and people together. Visit petsandpeopletogether.org to learn how to be a helper in your community. This has been a public service announcement brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
I'm William Shatner. I've been around a long time, but I'm truly humbled. And I see the real battles our brave, paralyzed veterans have faced defending our freedom.
I was on a routine patrol, and we were in the desert of Kuwait, and the vehicle flipped and landed on top of me, which left me paralyzed from the waist down.
Okay, folks, this is heroism. That's why I'm proud to support Paralyzed Veterans of America. Go to PVA.org to learn how you can make a difference.
Weather brought to you by you and your great business. For just $100 a week, this sponsorship is designed to drive traffic to your website.
But the offer absolutely ends March 15th. Log on civicmedia.us/weather. civicmedia.us/weather.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. Rock meets Bach tonight at the Performing Arts Center in Wisconsin Rapids. The Arts Council of Southwood County is presenting Take 3 tonight, March 9th at 7:30 p.m. This genre-defying trio uses a violin, cello, and piano to create some of the most exciting and refreshing pop, rock, classical fusion music you'll hear anywhere in the world. Tickets are $30 for adults and $10 for students. The high school jazz band concert will be Friday at the Performing Arts Center. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. for the concert starting at 7. The Hager House in Wausau helps single mothers in central Wisconsin. The faith-based home in central Wisconsin helps single moms get back on their feet and gain independence. The Hagar House is located in downtown Wausau and has 6 rooms. They are always looking for donations and volunteers. In sports, the Badgers are out of the Big Ten tournament after losing to Ohio State last night. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. A winter weather advisory continues until 9 a.m. this morning. Snow likely, overnight, otherwise cloudy skies expected. Lows level off around 24, winds out of the northeast 10 to 15 miles per hour. High of 35, tomorrow, snow likely. Lows around 17, tomorrow night. 6 to 12 inches of snow, overnight through Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 27.
But the thing that I was interested in, it, and we haven't talked about it on this show yet, but is an article that came out in Milwaukee Journal Sentinel 2-ish weeks ago, a week ago, that addressed how climate change is making it harder for Wisconsin brewers to get beer ingredients, which feels, once you kind of read it, it feels obvious as far as, yes, it takes growing materials, it takes growing agriculture to actually make beer. And as climate changes, as that gets disrupted by droughts and floods and all the different types of weather that's happening across the country, of course that impacts beer. And so I was just interested in like your reaction to that, if this was something that's already been talked about a lot in the community and it's only now kind of like, oh yeah, like this thing that you'd like drinking could be really impacted if we don't start making some changes.
Yeah, I think it was a good story. And I think I kind of talked to beer people in the beer industry enough that I have kind of internalized this a little bit, but it's a pretty big concern. And I think the main issue, you know, for kind of regular people thinking about this, it's easy to forget that beer is a agricultural product. It's highly processed, of course, but like hops and barley are the two kind of main inputs, aside from water, of course. And both of those are really sensitive crops to things that you mentioned, like drought and heat. They grow, particularly hops grow in a pretty narrow belt of kind of temperate climates around the globe. Clustered around the 45th parallel, there's like, you know, like Germany and Czech Republic and a lot of the, and then the Pacific Northwest, a lot of the areas that are known for hop growing are kind of in that real temperate, you know, cool summers, moderate, you know, cooler winters, but, you know, not too hot. So if the hot zone is kind of creeping north, then that's going to be a problem. And then there's like other issues like, well, and I guess barley too is a crop that can't grow in too hot of weather. So, you know, that's a big issue. And then of course, like there's other stuff that, phenomenon, I guess, that are kind of exacerbated by climate change. And storm damage is a big issue with barley and hops. You know, hail and wind damage can wipe out an entire, farm's crop, in any given year. And then you've got like one of the things that's starting to become, an issue, particularly in the Pacific Northwest, is smoke damage from wildfires. Like hops are intensely, you know, one of the reasons that they're used is for their aromatic qualities and flavor profiles. And if you have smoked hops, that's not doing it. So, you know, and then of course, like the whole water thing, like water is the biggest ingredient in beer. And, you know, I mean, the supply is one issue, but you know, those are both heavily irrigated crops, hops and barley. So, you know, if both are big out west, where of course there's major issues around water supply, in both agricultural and just kind of generally. So, it's a pretty major issue.
It is a major issue, and it's something that the first thing that pops into my mind is just like, oh, is this something that would actually, for people who kind of don't, it is, climate change is never top of mind, is threatening your beer supply something that would make it top of mind? And I don't know, like I say that kind of jokingly, but also, I mean, if beer starts getting way more expensive, because if the ingredients needed to make it becomes more expensive, would that open people's eyes a little bit more that are still a little, it's the emergency still feels not threatening.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, in the Journal Sentinel story you mentioned, you know, they talked about, I think it was the one of the owners of Central Waters up in Amherst. And he mentioned that the price of barley, more accurately malted barley, had gone up seven cents per ton or per pound this year because of crop, you know, like, you know, crop losses. And that's a pretty big deal, because we're talking about seven, you know, they're using 1 million pounds of that stuff a year. So that is direct on the bottom line. Is an extra dollar on a six pack going to sway people who are questioning whether climate change is a real big deal or not?
I
think that we're probably, our views on this topic are probably entrenched enough that's not going to be an issue. But I mean, it's certainly something to think about. One of the things that I think is really interesting about this topic in the industry, though, is, you know, I mean, it's like breweries are not great environmental citizens. They use a ton of energy and water. You know, the brewing process, you're boiling large amounts of water, using a ton of water, just in cleaning and everything else too. So, you know, that's a big issue. And a lot of breweries are working to mitigate that. You know, this is like on the front end of climate change, right? Like, you know, we got to stop causing climate change. So they're doing like, so, you know, using solar energy, conserving water. Nuclearis, this is mentioned in the story that Nuclearis recently installed a CO2 capture system to keep, their emissions and then actually reuse them, because most breweries buy carbon dioxide in addition to, you know, giving it off. So that's nice. But then there's like also this, like Nuclearis especially, it was fall of 2021. I was talking to their brewmaster Dan Carey about this new beer that he had released. It was a Doppelbock called Gyrator, and it was a fantastic beer. I just wanted to get the story of the beer, and turns out that it was way different than I was expecting. I mean, for like 10 years leading up to that point, he had been working to essentially like future-proof his supply chain.
Mm-hmm.
So he found this hop strain in Germany that had been basically kind of just not used anymore. It wasn't being grown and wasn't being used by brewers, obviously. And what he noticed about it is that it was a strain that is particularly kind of hardy as far as drought goes, and also to disease, which is an issue with drought too, for hops. And like hop varieties, I think we talked about this before. There's a lot of different, like, think of it like apples. You know, you have your Red Delicious and your Granny Smith and your Honeycrisp, and they're all different in flavor and profile and texture and all that stuff. Tartness. Same deal with hops, and generally those are bred for like the characteristics that they impart to beer. But a big part of it for the growers is how well they hold up to drought and pests and disease and all that stuff. So Dan saw this one that wasn't being used that he knew was particularly, it did better in hot weather. It did better in hot summers. So it was a hop that could be grown in the area where all these farmers have proficiency and they're expert hop growers. That could, you know, the idea was to shift production toward this strain, and kind of future-proof the supply chain. And he did that. It took him 10 years to working with a hop breeder to like find the source of this hop. And then with growers to get them to plant it. And then it takes a few years for hops to become after they're planted to become commercially viable. And he did it. It's now being commercially grown. And he used it as kind of a showcase hop in this Doppelbock, which is like, it's one reason why I love covering this industry, because it is, you know, you go into a kind of a story thinking like, okay, well, I'm going to talk about this beer and it's really tasty. And but then there's so much behind it, mm-hmm. especially with, you know, interesting brewer. I mean, Dan Carey is a pretty singular guy in the Wisconsin, you know, beer scene, just so much knowledge and kind of that, like, I mean, thinking not just 10 years ahead to where he actually got these hops, but, you know, 30 years when, hey, we're going to need hops that can grow with, summers with a mean temperature that's 5 degrees higher, maybe something like that.
Yeah. That's like, I mean, I guess when you're when you're on the lookout as far as protecting your company and your beer and everything, that's the kind of what you have to be looking at. But I just thought it was interesting, and so I was excited to get your input on that story and kind of what you hear when you're talking to brewers. But our guest this half hour is Chris Strasner, who's the executive editor of Milwaukee Magazine and the author of the Beer Baron column for the Wisconsin State Journal. And apparently it's Fulcrum Month. So what does that mean?
I kind of made that up, but I think of these transitional seasons are, I think, the best. I think it's the best time for seasonal beer. You know, like we've been through. Actually, right now is March, is especially mid March is it's time for stouts again. So like the Irish dry stouts, like Guinness is the one that mm-hmm. everybody thinks about commercially, but a lot of craft brewers roll out an Irish dry stout this time of year for St. Patrick's Day, obviously, and that's like we think of stouts as being kind of big and heavy and dark, and they are dark, of course, but the Irish dry stout is actually a much lighter in body, a little crisper. Guinness is like, people see Guinness and they're like, oh, that's a big beer. It's like 4.2% or something.
I think it's also one of the least caloric beers you can order too, besides like
yeah.
a Michelob
Light.
Well,
that's part of it. Yeah. Yeah. It's just that the malts they use are super roasted like coffee. You know, like the longer you roast your coffee, the darker it gets. That's basically the same principle with Irish dry stouts. But anyway, the point is we're getting into spring beers now. And so everything gets starting to get a little bit lighter, a little bit more easy drinking, with the exception of my favorite spring beer is actually the Maibock, which is a heavy Bock beer, which is a Germanic lager. But it's lightened up. It's not lightened up in body or alcohol percentage. It's still big beer. But they use lighter malts that are tend to be a little bit sweeter and a little bit of extra hopping on these to kind of make them bright. And to me, my favorite Maibock every year is Lakefront's Maibock, which is a reliable. It's every year they come out with it, and it's just sort of it's one of those beers where every year I kind of forget that I love it. Although I've stopped doing that now, but every time I'll buy a six pack of it and I'll be like, oh man, this is it.
It's like how some people are with their pumpkin beer in the fall.
Yeah, no.
Not me.
I mean,
but
maybe.
Some people.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to take our first break, but all right. No, I guess it's actually our last break of the show. Chris Strasner is our guest. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Milwaukee Magazine beer bracket, because it is the bracket season. Because March Madness is coming.
And we have an update on Marquette.
Oh, all right. Well, we'll get that and the beer bracket when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
In South Carolina, ain't nothing finer than me and my girl striking up a little lighter. Cause everybody's down and we're going crazy. Don't know how to fix it, but I think, baby, turn on the good times, turn off the TV. Yeah, the only BS I need is beers and sunshine. Ooh, beers and sunshine. Oh,
from the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Why you called it the Paul Revere Show?
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
Self-monitor your blood pressure in 4 easy-to-remember steps. Self-monitoring is power. Visit managerbp.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Heart Association, and the American Medical Association, in partnership with the Office of Minority Health and Health Resources and Services Administration.
Weather on this snowy, snowy day could be brought to us by your business. Can you imagine how many snow blowers, snow shovels, and snowmobiles are being sold as we speak? Weather sponsorships make the phone ring. Call us at 608-819-8255.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
A winter storm warning continues until 10 a.m. this morning. Cloudy overnight with snow likely. Lows around 30. Northeasterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Snow likely again tomorrow. Highs around 33. Lows around 22 tomorrow night. 5 to 10 inches of snow overnight through tomorrow with another 2 to 4 inches Saturday night through Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 30 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM. Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
There's a garden, what a garden, only
half. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere, and we are talking to Chris Drosner, executive editor of Milwaukee Magazine and author of the Beer Baron column for Wisconsin State Journal. And it is, tis the season. Oh, first, let's get the Marquette update.
Marquette in overtime. Golden Eagles defeating St. John's Red Storm 72-70. And apparently they will next play tomorrow at 5:30.
Well, at least that's some good news, because yeah. The Badgers lost last night, yeah. And so that was...
not good.
Less good news, especially since... Chris, because you and I are both Badger fans over Marquette, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
I feel like that loss is mercy, not something to be disappointed in. It's kind of a rough year.
Yeah. It's someone... I was just checking Twitter, and we won't get into it as far as... the guard versus Bo Ryan comparisons and whatnot. Because we're going to talk about beer. And a different kind of March Madness is coming. Selection Sunday is this Sunday. But there's a different kind of selection for people who are less interested in teenagers playing basketball and more interested in beer. Tell us about the Milwaukee Magazine beer bracket.
Yeah, so I've kind of been the architect of a beer bracket with, you know, using... the idea is like you pick the winner in each matchup, and then you advance instead of like you know, they play it out. Your votes are what advances the beers. So we did one for the State Journal for a long time. I think it was 10 years maybe. I don't know, whatever. But Milwaukee Mag's doing well this year, baby. Yeah.
All right.
And we're excited because we're focusing it, as Milwaukee Mag probably would, on Milwaukee beers. Okay. And we decided to do craft beers only, so no High Life, no Miller Lite. Sorry, folks, of fans of the macro lager. But, you know, High Life has won enough awards, so we're going to... So we've got 16 craft beers, one from each, one from one brewery per... Or one, you know,
one beer per brewery.
One from each brewery. Yeah, exactly. And we are voting opened on Monday, so you can go to MilwaukeeMag.com/beer bracket, and you can find the voting right there. If you just go to MilwaukeeMag.com, there's some banner ads all over the site. So
all right,
it's really exciting. Like we've got and you know, all folks from pretty much all around the state will probably know these breweries because the ones that we picked, we kind of picked in on purpose with their distribution reach, and you know, these are breweries that you can certainly get in Madison and probably most of the state. I think, you know, if you're a beer fan in Wisconsin, you're going to be familiar with this brewery. So, although, man, it was tough. Like, talk about killing babies. Like, they refer to the editor's editing process as, like, killing your babies. The bubble on this was brutal because there's, like, I don't know, there's, like, almost 50 breweries in the Milwaukee area. And a lot of the ones that I hold very dear are not in this bracket.
So, wait, did you have to get help because you couldn't narrow it down by yourself? Because in total, there's Third Space Brewing, Company Brewing. I'm not going to read off all the beers, but I'll just name the breweries. Third Space Brewing, Company Brewing, Black Husky Brewing, Mob Craft Beer, Eagle Park, Broken Bat, Gathering Place, Raised Grain, Sprecher Brewing, Enlightened Brewing, Milwaukee's Brewing, Good City Brewing. God, we're the Bruce City, aren't we? Lakefront Brewing, 1840, the Firmatorium, and City Lights. So who's missing that you were like, oh?
Shout out to my friends at Component Brewing in Bayview, in the Lincoln Warehouse. Great beer, good people, good tap room. Hopefully next year they'll have that penetration into grocery stores and stuff that was kind of part of the criteria for choosing these. Yeah. And I did turn on the bubble to Twitter. I did a kind of a low key Twitter poll about a month ago to kind of like I had a feeling on which one I wanted, and the voting bore that out. So, but yeah, New Barons was just outside the bubble. You know, and there's a lot of great breweries in Milwaukee that are just a different model, you know, like super taproom oriented. You know, it's like you pretty much get their beer one place. It doesn't really work real well for this. So
yeah,
we want this to be kind of the appealing to the big crowd. So
no, and that makes sense. And so to remind us how it works. So if you go and fill it out, is it that you're guessing what's like in, because in March Madness, when you fill out your bracket, you're guessing who the ultimate winner is going to be, or is it your votes count towards?
Yeah, this one is a vote. Yeah, you don't. It's not like we're gonna like grade your bracket and be like you're the winner. No, you're deciding who's gonna win. So, you know, in the I believe Happy Place has won the Madison beer bracket. Which was the Wisconsin beer bracket, but the one I was doing for Madison.com and the State Journal, and Lakefront, River West Stein was always like in the final four and never won. That one had a little bit more of a Madison focus, naturally because of the audience there. But it's fun. There's not technically seeds in these. In like, you know, there's not the numbers next to the beers, but I think if you look at the graphic, you'll kind of see what you'll be able to tell what the one seeds are. Yeah.
All right. Well, we will link that to today's show notes because this is fun. It's a fun for people who are not necessarily into basketball. There's plenty of other brackets you can fill out this year. Anything else before we let you go and wrap up the show?
Well, yeah, I'll just say like you know, you decide who's winning. It doesn't have to be based on it can be on like some people pick their bracket based on like the nicknames of the mascots
or the colors
or colors of the uniforms, whatever, you know, the whatever you choose is viable. So, and we're going to do voting, each of the next, I guess it'll be 3 weeks, before we get down to a final that I will announce probably live on Facebook or something.
Ooh.
I think it's April 3rd, something like that.
Well, send me the information and I will link that as well. Because one of the things, Jane, I know you're not a beer drinker, but at least you could appreciate that not only did they list all the beers that are on the bracket, but they also listed them with a cheese pairing.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
All right.
This is really cool because we have, our sponsor, Ralph Cheese, came up with a different pairing for each beer too. So it's not like, it's not just some kind of generic, like there's,
it's specific.
Cheese with four. Yeah.
It's, jalapeno Havarti. Sounds pretty good. All right. Well, Chris Drosner, as always, so fun to have you here and update us on everything. We'll see you in a month. Unless we see you on the live stream for the brackets sooner. But for us, that about does it. Drive safely this evening once the snow starts. Stick around for Dueling Tangents or the Chad Holmes Show, and then come back tomorrow at 11 when we'll do it all over again. This has been As Goes Wisconsin. La, 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 la.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Cynthia and Ed.
My mother was always very active and independent, and she was familiar with her neighborhood. But one day, out of the blue, she stopped at the stop sign for much longer than usual. And she didn't know whether she should go forward or turn or just stay at the stop sign. She wasn't even really sure where she was at. She was very concerned. It was very unsettling for her.
It's important for you to talk to someone about it, to bring the family in on it. I felt so much better after my son told me, Mom, I don't want you to worry or be afraid. I'll be there for you and we'll figure it out.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
News, talk, and sports.